Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. Now is live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Luke Owen. I'm joined by the hardest working person in all of sports infotainment. Reunited and it feels so good. Me and Denise. Back together. Denise Salcedo. How are you, mate?
I don't know the words to that song, so I couldn't join in on you, but I'm very happy to be here.
Well, we've got a very fun show to kick back off the Reunited Tour. Talking about Alexa Bliss, could she be the Raw Women's Champion in the coming months? Let's find out. Here is the show. No, dude, it's been like over a month since we've done a show together.
I feel like it's been since last year, and it's been a very, very long time. I'll say that much. Like, it's been several weeks.
I mean, so I moved out of my house on December 18th. So it would have been the week before that was our last show together. So it had been like early December, and it's now pretty much the end of January.
I know. Oh my God. So then it was at least like 4 or 5 weeks then. Yeah, and it's weird too because I did one show with Adam, and then after that I got so used to not doing any shows Thursday nights, like, and it actually messed up my sleeping schedule. I was going to sleep later every single day instead of just once a day.
Oh man. Well, anyway, well, we're back now. This is it. We're going to be doing shows together every Friday again, and I'm bloody looking forward to it. Unless
me
one
too.
Of us. So. Anyway, we're going to crack on. So we're going to talk about Alexa Bliss this week for our main topic of discussion because, so she's now in the main event storyline of Raw. I would argue that the Randy Orton Fiend feud is definitely the top story on Raw at the moment. I personally feel anyway. It feels like it's getting the most main events segments. It's getting the most attention. It's certainly like going by YouTube metrics, it's the most watched thing that they've
been. Is it really? I haven't seen the YouTube numbers.
Oh, yeah. If there's anything involving The Fiend, Orton, and Bliss, like, they're doing, like, crazy numbers above, like, most of the other stuff. Unless it's, like, you know, a Goldberg return, they are doing insane numbers. Like, really, really big.
That probably explains why they keep on doing these, like, crazy segments. They're like, people are watching.
Exactly, yeah. And it's so, like, they are just sort of, like, they're going with what the trends are. And so she's been involved in this. And then, like, on this past Monday's Raw, she beat Asuka, the Raw Women's Champion, in a very, very strong win, like debuting this brand new character. The lights go out. We go to an ad break. We come back. And she's in a completely different outfit. She's now got, like, dark lipstick on her. I think you made the comment
that... I made a joke. I was like, who would have thought that black lipstick was going to give you powers this whole entire time?
I mean, I don't know.
That was really the only like major difference that I noticed from her. Like, I know she changed like the rest of herself, but like the thing that was most noticeable to me was the black lipstick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you did through our Raw review, but clearly I'm not the most observant person. I didn't realize she changed. I noticed that she was wearing, I thought she was wearing lipstick the entire time. And it was only until the commentary were going, like, she's different.
I don't blame you. I actually went back and I went to go make sure before I tweeted that out. I was like, I don't want to look like a fool. So let me double check. I went back and I saw like a little clip that WWE had put, you know, their little social clips that they post. I saw one of her walking and yeah, she had like, she just kind of had like her regular lip color. Like she didn't have actual color. And then she had the black, but it was very obvious because they had such a short amount of time to do it. I think that it was done very like sloppy. So you can see like all like the lines and stuff. So I knew that it had been done. Like, I don't know. Like that's how I noticed it because it wasn't done good.
Okay. I mean, I just assumed that it was a pre-tape thing because yeah, like, they had her change back afterwards.
Yeah, but I think they might have just, I don't know if they've done it, like did it like that purposely so that it wouldn't look like it, or they just didn't like do her lipstick properly because they did it like, it looked like it was done really fast.
Right, okay. I've never applied lipstick myself, so
it takes time, Luke. It takes time. You got to like follow the lines, make sure you don't get out of the line. If you do, you got to come in with a Q-tip. You got to clean that stuff off and then you got to, you know, fix it because no matter how hard you clean, it still stays like a little stain there. It's terrible.
Oh man, it sounds like too much work. But yeah, so she beat Asuka like with this new gimmick. Raw Women's Champion Asuka, who I think pretty much since the Banks and Bayley feud in the summer has had nothing to do with the title. Like it's been a complete afterthought for her. She had a couple of title defenses against Zelina Vega and Lana and Mickie James, but they all went like a handful of minutes. It never felt like it was a proper feud. So she's just sort of been the backstep, like the third wheel to the Lana Nia Jax storyline. Now she feels like she's the third wheel to Charlotte. And now she's just being beaten by Alexa Bliss. So I get the feeling we're not long for a Asuka title loss. Like, I think we are very much heading down that road where she's going to lose the title pretty soon. And if I was to make a guess, I think it will probably be to Alexa Bliss.
I first thought that they were going to go the route of having her lose the belt to Charlotte because I really did think they were going to end up having that belt go to Rhea Ripley. But now this direction that they're going, I think that they could go either or direction. Like they could give it to Alexa Bliss. But then I almost feel like, I don't know, like if Alexa Bliss with this character, if it's going to, like, do you think it's going to work?
Yeah, it's the Fiend problem all over again, isn't it?
It's like right. It's exactly the same thing, just with a girl now.
Exactly, yeah. When The Fiend debuted and like he was going for the title against Seth, I think a lot of people were like, well, I don't think The Fiend really needs the title at the moment. Like, yeah, he's the hottest act in the company, but I don't think he needs the title. And even when he won it last year from Braun, it's like, I don't think he doesn't need the title. Then he only held onto it for like a handful of weeks and they lost it to Roman Reigns, who I feel is a character that does need the title. I think like Roman having the title elevates that character. Alexa Bliss and The Fiend having the belt doesn't elevate their characters.
Exactly. Like that belt would mean so much more on somebody like Rhea Ripley, just because, again, it would just do so much more for her. So I thought that was the direction that they were heading in. Now, that's still the direction I hope that they'd be heading in. But obviously, you know, I could be wrong. So I personally don't think I would want to see the belt on Alexa Bliss right now. I just can't see it really working for her. Again, like we just said, I do think like we'd see the whole thing with The Fiend play out all over again, except the female version instead now. And I kind of really felt bad for Asuka because had she been booked pretty well up until this point, that loss with Alexa Bliss wouldn't have necessarily hurt her. It would have been like, oh, okay, cool. Like this works for Alexa Bliss's new character. But because Asuka hasn't been booked very well, not even very well, she hasn't been booked great at all. At times, she hasn't even been booked like a champion or as a champion to defend her title. And WrestleTalk tweeted out how many days it had been since she even had a she had defended her title. And I think it was like 58 days or something like that. And I'm thinking like how
many months.
Right. And I'm thinking, how fast did that even go? Like the time flew by. But seriously, though, I feel bad for Asuka. I think it's done. Like I have no more hopes for her reign. Like something has to happen. She needs a clean slate right now because, right, it's not working out for her as champion. And that's obviously not her fault. We already know that. But it's just that she hasn't had any credible challengers. That's the problem. Like, she's suffering from, like, what Drew McIntyre was suffering with after he won the title. He didn't have anyone to defend the title against. He didn't have any noteworthy challengers. So that's exactly what was happening with Asuka.
Yeah, I really feel bad for Asuka in all of this. And I feel like it's the story of her main roster run, which is that like they put the title on her and we all get really excited. It's like, finally, now we're going to pull the trigger on Asuka. And then they're like, yeah, but we're not really interested. So we're just going to pull that rug, put the title back on Charlotte or put the title back onto whoever. And like, I figured that we were going to, like when they won the tag titles in particular, we were going to do, how can they possibly coexist as champions? And we'll move forward and we'll have Asuka, it's like Charlotte Flair will win the Rumble and it'll be Asuka Charlotte at WrestleMania. It's a rematch of WrestleMania 34. Like they'll do this whole big deal. Like, you know, she ended the undefeated streak. But now with this whole Bliss thing, I almost feel like we're going to get Bliss at Elimination Chamber or Fastlane because Bliss is in the Rumble. So I don't think they're going to have a match next Sunday. So maybe a match at Elimination Chamber or Fastlane. Bliss beats Asuka for the title, and then you do Charlotte versus Asuka. Charlotte versus Bliss for the title at WrestleMania once Flair wins the Rumble. That's a possibility. But yeah, you're right. Like the other side of it was, so where, like, are they going to do the Rhea Ripley thing? Like, are we going to go back to that storyline that we sort of did start last year? I don't know. Like, I mean, do you think that we could see Bliss win the title? Like, I know we don't particularly want to, but do you think she could win it and we'll do Bliss Flair at Mania?
Well, could she? Yeah, I mean, they could do whatever they want. But then you also have to think, like, Rhea Ripley just had that big, you know, that big match with Raquel. And the way that that ended, that was like her farewell, you know, her farewell. And so I'm fully expecting to see her at the Royal Rumble. Like, I'm fully expecting that. And, you know, I maybe if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be seriously bummed out. But she's not only am I expecting her to show up, I'm actually expecting her to win because I really do want them to go that Rhea Ripley Charlotte route. And this whole with Alexa Bliss getting in on this, it kind of like, oh man, like I don't like that it might be an alternative because I don't really care for wanting to see Charlotte versus Alexa Bliss at WrestleMania. That to me isn't the WrestleMania main event for the women. They would have to do, I mean, obviously they have plenty of time for me to get invested in that storyline, but right now it's not it. I'm not invested in seeing Charlotte versus Asuka at WrestleMania. I'm not interested in that either. Like, really, I think that my interest is definitely in Charlotte versus Rhea. It's not Charlotte Alexa, not Charlotte Asuka, not Asuka Alexa, unless they actually, you know, built up something, some sort of interest for this.
Yeah, there's a lot of interest in this year's Royal Rumble because, I mean, Bianca Belair, I still think, is a top contender to win the Rumble this year. Like from the SmackDown side of things, I think from the Raw side of things, we've got like a couple of options that you certainly could go with. But SmackDown does also have its options. So I think it's going to be a really interesting Rumble this year, like not just for the women, but for the men as well. This feels like it's the first time in a while that we've had a Rumble where it's like, yeah, I don't really know who's going to win the Rumble this year. And that's actually, as a fan, that's really exciting.
That's so true. But then it could be kind of scary because then it could go to somebody that you're like, oh, this person won. Because, you know, last year we talked about the fact that, you know, Drew McIntyre winning, like, yeah, it was, you know, the person that people wanted. And some people could have said it was predictable. But because the Rumble was so good, it didn't matter because, you know, everybody got that, you know, that OMG moment with Drew McIntyre actually winning. But now I like the fact that there's options. And I kind of hope we see somebody that, like, it's somebody you're like, you're excited to see. Like, I don't want to be bummed out about the Royal Rumble, like the winner for the men. Like, there's been so many Rumbles where I was legit bummed out about the winner. And I don't feel like that should be the outcome. Like, it's the most exciting pay-per-view. And so, you know, you got to have somebody that's actually going to get you excited. Like, oh man, like he actually won. Like, this is great. Not somebody you're like, oh, this guy won. And you know how many Rumbles I felt like that? Where I was like, oh, this guy. And it was interesting.
Dude, I'm literally just dying. So we've got an actually good video, which you're going to be a part of, on the Royal Rumble. I had to relive through that dark period, that sort of like nearly 10 years we had of just like Rumble winners, like, oh God, this guy. And like, I went back and I rewatched a load of them and I was like, reliving those disappointments was awful.
Did you have any major disappointments where you're like, oh, what the heck?
The 2017 Rumble when Randy Orton wins is a real just like, oh God, what? again with Randy. And because I didn't think like him and Bray didn't need that, like their feud didn't need the title. So I was really bummed out about that. But the ones that like, it's the 2014, the 2015 ones that still really sting, because that's the one where like the 2014, everyone's so into Daniel Bryan and he's not even in the Rumble and it's Batista. But it's the year after where they put him in the Rumble and then eliminated him in 10 minutes. And then it was like a couple of, and then Roman Reigns comes out and you're like, oh, okay. Right. So this is the direction we're going. Cool. Great. So it turns out it doesn't matter what we think. And like, that was like a real moment where it was like, we don't care what you think. This is what you're getting.
Exactly. And I hate that. Like, I remember when the final two men were Jericho and Sheamus. Was it 2012? Yeah, 2012. Yeah. And I was such a big Jericho fan. I really wanted him to win the Rumble. Like, I thought that was going to be it. So I remember being very disappointed when Sheamus won. I remember being disappointed when Alberto Del Rio won. I think I was just disappointed in that one. Like, overall, I just wasn't excited about that Rumble.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's a topic for another time.
Yeah, we went off topic already. We're back and we're already off topic.
Just wait till we get to the mailbag. One of the other things, last thing I wanted to say on the Alexa Bliss Asuka stuff is we had a lot of hyper chats come in on our Raw review that were just like, man, it says a lot about WWE when Hikaru Shida is being booked way better as a champion than Asuka is. And I'm like, oh, I mean, is it? Do you agree with that?
No, I completely disagree with that. I think that they're on par, maybe even worse for Hikaru Shida because. Yeah, it hasn't been good for either. No, it was worse for Hikaru Shida because at least in Asuka's early reign, there was times where she was pulling double duty. I know at SummerSlam and another pay-per-view, she had two matches on the card.
Yeah, so I think the summer months were really, really good. But like ever since that Banks and Bayley feud ended, like it's been pretty much a sort of a desert for Asuka. Like there were times where like I forget that she's the champion because she's done so little with the belt. So it's a real shame. But lastly on Alexa Bliss, I think that WWE are like really strong behind this gimmick. I think they're really, really into something. I feel like they've got something. I think they feel like they've got something really special. And I can see them going full force with this and putting the title on her, whether that's at Elimination Chamber or Fastlane or... But yeah, I could see her being a big focal point of WrestleMania in the coming months.
I think they do have something really special with Alexa Bliss. And the reason for that is because she's playing the character very well. Like, she's got all the skills. And she's, you know, she has that thing that is that's attractive for all types of audiences. Like, not just for the men. Like, oh, she's cute. We want to root for her. She has that that likability that people like Lita had. That you're like, oh, that's the cool girl that I want to be. Like, that's the person that I look up to. So she not only, you know, attracts the, you know, male fan bases, she also attracts the female fan bases because you look up to somebody like a cool character like Alexa Bliss. And that's was one of the things that always made me a fan of Alexa was that she had something unique, something different, something that necessarily wasn't your typical, you know, blonde bombshell. And I hate to be, you know, pointing fingers at the blondes, but that's obviously like the very blonde bombshell is not relatable whatsoever. So, you know, having a character like Alexa Bliss, like those Lita's characters, like people like that, it's people that you tend to like, you know, really start liking. So Alexa Bliss has that. She has that, and she has this cool thing with this character, something that we haven't really seen another female do before. So they do have something special with Alexa Bliss.
Yeah. Right, so let's look at the ratings for Dynamite and NXT very quickly. Both shows were up this week after last week, where it took a bit of a dip. So AEW drew 854,000 viewers, a 0.36 rating in the key demographic, and NXT did 659,000 viewers with a 0.15 in the demographic. So yeah, both shows were up from last week, which is obviously a very good sign. What did you make of both shows?
So on my show, on my podcast, you know, usually at the top of the stream, I always kind of go over like which show is better, just like really quickly before we break everything down. Like, oh, this was a show that was superior for this week. And I was very surprised that this was probably the first week where I had a lot of people in the chat basically saying they did not like AEW. They thought AEW was a bad show. And it was kind of surprising to me because there have been some not so great AEW shows and people still love them. So I almost kind of felt like people wouldn't actually call them out on having a bad show. And people were calling them out on having a bad show this week. And I was actually kind of taken aback by that. Like, I didn't know how to react. And here's the thing too, is that I had to agree. I didn't think that AEW Dynamite was that great this week. I actually thought that NXT was the a good show this week. And I think that they're finally moving in the right direction. They're finally building a very strong roster. Their main event guys are literally top notch. Like when you go and you look at all the different opportunities, the different feud storylines that Finn Balor as champion can do, that he can have, it's like completely like night and day between the difference between like Raw. Even SmackDown doesn't have as many options as Finn has right now in NXT as champion. So I think that NXT was the best show this week, but again, that changes each and every single week. In terms of the ratings, I didn't think the AEW number was that bad, considering that, you know, people were, I know the inauguration was like early in the day, so I don't know if that really affected people because that was early in the day. So I'm not sure how that played out.
Yeah, I think there might be like people tuning in for news coverage of it. Like, I know the inauguration day is like, it's a really big deal over in the States. Happy inauguration day the other day as well. I've been really enjoying all the Bernie memes of him.
Oh my gosh, they're everywhere. They're everywhere.
Dude, it's so good. But yeah, so like I thought that there might be quite a lot of the news coverage would be like, because people will be like, you know, here's my analysis of the day and things like that. But so I'm really happy to see that both shows did really well and did, you know, drew better numbers than they did last week. I've got to agree with you as well. Like I thought AEW was a good, like a solid show this week. Like I don't think it was like a bad show because there was nothing on it that made me go like, oh God, that's terrible. But it also wasn't like a blowaway show. Like, yeah, I think the reason why people were very much down on it, because they were down on it on our shows as well, was, you know, it was the Private Party Top Flight six man, because they had quite a lot of missed time spots and botches within there. That really brought people down. And then Jericho missed, like, not bolting up his lion salt. I think that just killed it off for everyone. Everyone was like, nope, this show is done. This show is
the
dead.
Cody, you know, Peter Avalon thing. That was not, yeah. I mean, that was not good whatsoever.
That wasn't.
So there was a lot of things that were not good, although I did love the opening segment very much.
Yeah. Oh, God, that made me smile so, so much.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, It's the Showcase of the Immorons.
But anyway, right, let's get into the mailbag. We've actually got 2 weeks worth of mailbag as well, because we didn't do one last week when we had Dave Bradshaw on the episode. So if you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers on Patreon at any dollar amount. Leave a comment in the community tab labeled mailbag. Do not email me. I will just lose it. Bad at my job. Also, this episode is sponsored by beer. beer52.com/WrestleTalk. Go get free case of craft beer. There's 8 craft beers in there. You also get a little gourmet snack and a magazine that is really, really cool. I've got my box here. It's all ready for the Royal Rumble. Oh, look at it.
Oh, look, yeah, you're ready for the Rumble.
I'm ready for the Rumble. I sampled this one yesterday on the AEW stream, Metamorphosis from Kaiju Beer, and it's bloody delicious. So yeah, go over there, WrestleTalk, beer52.com/WrestleTalk. Get your free case of craft beer on us. Robert Ray is up first in the mailbag. I saw Denise tweeted, "What's your favorite wrestling theme to sing?" And she said it was Kurt Angle's TNA theme. My question is, what's the one wrestling theme you hear you have to sing along with it? For me, it's Stone Cold's Disturbed theme or Randy Orton's Burn in My Light. So if yours is the Kurt Angle TNA theme, my two are Edge's The Metalingus.
Oh my God, everyone loves that song. Like, everybody was commenting that song.
That's because it's brilliant, Denise. It's a great, I love it so much I nearly swore then. And it's such a great song.
I like it, but I wouldn't go as far to say I love it. I think I love so many others more.
But it's so much fun to sing as well. On this day, I sing clearly. It's great.
Hey, you have a great voice.
Oh, thank you very much. The YouTube comments always disagree with you, but it's fine. Like, people hate it when I sing on these shows because I always do. Like, because I grew up in, like, you know, a grunge era, so I always get like the Eddie Vedder, like, the style of singing.
Yeah, I was gonna say your singing voice doesn't necessarily match you. Like, I wouldn't have pictured that being your singing voice. Like, you have like, I don't know what the right word is. You have like a...
In the throat.
Right. It comes out. Like, I wouldn't expect that to be your vocals.
Yeah, I think it's also as well, but I feel like I just do impressions of singing as well. Like, I don't know what my actual singing voice is because I just sing like the people who are singing the song. Anyway, so it's either that or...
You got to find your singing identity. What's your identity, Luke?
What is my singing identity? And the other one is AJ Styles' TNA theme. The you were.
I am so glad you said that one and that you didn't say the WWE one, because I hate his WWE theme song and I love his TNA songs. Like, love it, love it.
Oh, you don't like, they don't want none.
I don't like it. Like, my pet peeve when it comes to wrestling theme songs is if the theme song doesn't match the wrestler. To me, that doesn't match the wrestler. Because, okay, when I was a kid, I used to think that the wrestlers sang their theme songs because, I kid you not, because if you notice, a lot of the times, like, the singers, like, they tend to match, like, the wrestler's voice, like, sort of, sometimes. And so I always thought that they sang their theme song. So, like, that always stuck with me. Not that they sang their theme songs, but for me, I'm like, they have to match. Like, they have to match the person's voice. And that doesn't match AJ Styles. So I don't know. It's a thing. I don't like the song. You can hate me all you want. I don't care. But no, seriously.
I think it's a good song. The other one that's always really fun to sing as well is Christian's theme when he went when he was a solo star. The Christian, at last, you're on. It's also fun to do the... Dwayne the Gronk Johnson. I heard Mr. Davis and Pete talk about their predictions for the Royal Rumble on a podcast. One of the scenarios discussed was that Goldberg beats Drew while Brock returns to win the Rumble. Sounds really ridiculous, which is why I think WWE will do it. I now think that this will be the main event of WrestleMania. What are your guys' pick for the WrestleMania main event?
All right. Okay. So earlier I said Charlotte, Rhea. If there's a crowd, well, there is going to be a crowd. I would even, not for the main event, but I think we might even see Triple H AJ. I think that could be a possibility.
Oh, that's a really good shout.
And then for the men, I just don't know. I can't pick for the men just yet.
I think you and Sean were talking about like that Daniel Bryan is like a potential to win the Rumble this
year. Yeah, everybody's saying Daniel Bryan. Me, like, I like Daniel Bryan, but I don't think he's at the top of my list to actually where I want to see him win. Mm. I mean, I wouldn't mind it. I'm not going to hate the idea. But yeah, I don't know. What about you?
I'm really, as I said, like we said earlier in the show, I'm so torn on Rumble. Like last year, and you know, we were talking about like how we kind of like always pretty sure we know. Like the last couple of years, I feel like I've always been pretty sure. Like last year, I was so sure it was Roman Reigns and it was Shayna Baszler winning. I was cocksure those two were winning. The year previous, I was so sure it was going to be Seth and Becky. The year previous, I was so sure it was going to be Shinsuke and Asuka. This year, I'm like a week out from the Royal Rumble and I'm like, I don't know. I don't think it's anyone, and I don't feel like it's anyone from Raw, though. I feel like it's
a week, though. Is it really a week till the Rumble?
Yeah, it's a week Sunday. Like, I think it's going to be someone from SmackDown that is going to win. Like, I know the Big E's the odds-on favorite, but I don't think, like, the bookies really mean anything until, like, the day of.
I don't think it's going to be Big E.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Big E either. But, like, I do think it is going to be someone from SmackDown. And if it is someone from SmackDown, then I'm kind of sliding towards Daniel Bryan.
I don't know, but I can't believe that the Rumble is in a week. Like, what the hell? Like, this January went by pretty fast. This is the fastest January of my life. Usually January is a slow month.
I know, yeah. And particularly because it's like a 5-week month, you're waiting for payday, which is what I'm currently waiting for at the moment. It's not till next week. Ket.
Thank you for reminding me. I'll send Ollie my invoice.
Okay, so what's up, guys? Big Show has had some bad finishes, the final cut and the alley-oop. Between them, which one is the worst? That is a great question. I think for me it's the alley-oop because it looks like it's an accident. It looks like it just goes wrong. It does, because he just gets him in a powerbomb position and then falls backwards. Like, it looks like it's a mistake.
Yeah, you know what? Now that you put it that way, I agree with you. I will go with that too.
Also, it's called the alley-oop. Like, it's not exactly the most threatening name in the world, is it? I'm going to hit you with the alley-oop.
Yeah, no, not threatening whatsoever, especially for a man of that stature.
You were right the first time.
Was I right the first time? I was like, stature. Wait, what did I say? What was it again? Statue?
You said stature and then corrected yourself to statue and then went back to stature.
I was like, what is it? Stature? No, it's stature, right?
It is, yeah.
Oh my Timothy God, stature. I forgot. I was like, stature, statute. Great. Another word Denise Salcedo cannot say. What is up, man? Did you have public education system learning, or did you go to like a private school?
I went to a public school. Much went to a public school. No private school education for me. That's why I feel like I'm a bit thick. And but like, you know, I wasn't an academic child. Like I tell the story a fair number of times. I was not a good school child. My brother was like really good at school. He was really academic, did really well in his tests and everything like that. I was awful. I could not focus. During like the period of time when you're supposed to like really be revising for your exams, like my GCSEs and my A-levels, I just didn't revise at all. I went into one of my A-level English literatures exams on a book that I hadn't read because I read the first chapter and I was like, nah, I'm not into this book.
So you never got better?
Not really. No, I did not get better when I got to university either. I basically scraped through school. Like I did just well enough in my GCSEs so I could get to do my A-levels. And then I did just well enough in my A-levels so I could get to university. And then I did just well enough at university to not fail.
You stress me out. Oh my God, you stress me out. I was a good student. Like in my high school years, I wasn't that great of a student. But like late high school and all through college, I was A+, well, maybe like B and A student, maybe not A+ all the time, but I worked hard. Like I was like, nah, I need to do good. I need to like, it got in my head. Like I cried one time because I got a B in science and I could not have it. I was so depressed.
My wife is the same thing because like my wife was like A star student. Like she, like we when we talk about our GCSE results, she's like, yeah, I got like 11 A stars or like 11, 10 A stars and an A. And she was furious that she didn't get like the
full of A
stars. And I was like, oh, I got 4 Bs, 1 C, 3 Ds, and a U. I failed one of my exams.
You know what? Like, unless it's math, I don't blame you. But wait, what did you fail?
Graphics, because I can't draw. So I had to take, like...
Why would you take graphics if you can't draw?
Because I didn't want to do woodwork. So I didn't want to do... I wish I'd done woodwork, really. I didn't want to do woodwork. I didn't want to do... I think it was like soldering or something. I was like... and I didn't want to do that. So I did graphics because my mates were doing it. And so I just picked that. And I can't
peer
draw. I think it was peer pressure. They weren't like, you should take it. I was like, no, I've got to take this because I want to hang out with my friends in class. So
it was a clear case of FOMO.
I think it probably was, because I'd have been on my own in woodwork and I'd have hated that. So I did graphics and I can't draw. So I got you. My dad said I probably got the most marks for writing my name on the exam.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah, I nearly dropped out of university as well in my first year because I didn't like pass. Like with university in my first year, I just had to. You just had to get a 40% grade.
What does the U stand for, though?
The U, unclassified or something, or
oh, we get an I for incomplete.
Oh right, yeah, maybe it's like yeah, it's something like that. It basically, yeah, it's like the lowest mark you can possibly get. So yeah, it wasn't great. And then A level, I got a C and two E's. I got a C in drama and an E in English lit and an E in.
Is an E like an E's like worse than an F?
Yeah, E is the lowest mark. E is the lowest mark you can get. Unless right. It's
we never did E's, so I don't know.
Oh, you missed out in the 90s. But yeah, like E's like the lowest grade you can get before a U, I think. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. But yeah, I was not an academic child. But it's okay.
Shame. I know your name.
Dude, like I couldn't study. Final Fantasy VII wasn't going to complete itself. Like I had like that had to be my focus. I couldn't
Wait,
study.
Wait, did you say Final Fantasy?
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII. It was a game on the PlayStation. Okay. It was like massive. I was like that. That was what I did in my evenings, was play that game.
I had an obsession with MySpace and I still found time to study Luke.
Dude, I did all of my stuff in an age before MySpace, like in an age before social media. If I had social media, I'd have done even less studying than I did. And I did nothing.
Oh my God.
Sean Dunn, your content has been fantastic. You can see how hard everyone's been working. No question. Just a big thank you for helping me and my mental health by keeping WrestleTalk going. Thank you so much, Sean. That's really kind of you to say. Reese says, I was thinking about past Royal Rumbles and something I realized and I missed and I kind of hope they bring back is the tombola. I always enjoyed seeing wrestlers backstage pulling numbers and reacting. All little story.
Is that what it's called? A tombola?
Yeah, it's a tombola.
Oh. The golden spinny thing. I even tweeted about this. I was like, they need to bring this back. I completely agree.
Yeah, it's a tombola. Or storyline bits such as Eddie Guerrero stealing Ric Flair's number. Would love to get your opinions. And would you like to see it back, particularly this year? So I feel there's a lot of fun things to be done with Sonya, maybe using her position of power to swap people's numbers after Adam Pearce is taken out. Yeah, I mean, I love all of that stuff anyway. Like people going around and picking their numbers or like fighting for number spots. I like that from, I was like, you got to fight for the number 30 spots. And yeah, and people going backstage, oh man, I can't believe I got that number. It's like, okay, I've got that number. I can work with that.
I love that. I want it back so much. But I don't know. I called it the little spinning thing. That's what it was. I was like, I need the spinning thing back.
I said this at the time as well, but I think it is hands down the worst thing that AEW has ever done is that they determined a tag team match with a tombola. You know, the Young Bucks, like they had all the tag teams in the ring. This is how they set up the Young Bucks versus FTR. They had all the tag teams in a ring and then they drew numbers from a tombola. I was like, what the?
That didn't make sense.
Did you have a ranking system? Like use the ranking system. What the hell were you bringing out a tombola for?
This ain't the Royal Rumble. No, I completely agree with you. That was a terrible segment, terrible idea.
Brian Moore, thank you very much for your concept design that you've sent in for the official WrestleTalk Jam That Championship. We are getting, well, it's always been a plan that we're going to get like a proper Jam That Championship done, but we're going to wait for the right time to do it. Maybe we'll wait until we're back in the office, but we are going to get one done. Thank you very much for your design. Callum says, what TV shows do you recommend everyone should go and watch? For me, it's Lost and 100, genuinely both great shows.
Lost, man. Lost was good. I mean, it wasn't good in the end, but Lost was good. Must watch shows. I Love Lucy. You have to watch I Love Lucy. Like, there's no going around it. That's a classic. And that started so much. Like, so many of the storylines that I saw in Lucy, like, played out in, like, every other show that I ever watched. But, like, you know, different versions of it. I would say that would be, like, the number one that everybody has to watch.
Yeah. And I'm always going to say The Twilight Zone. It's my favorite show of all time. You know, I think I'm definitely going to say The Twilight Zone. Bloody love it. That and if you're into that sort of thing, the DuckTales reboot is excellent.
The DuckTales reboot,
dude, it's so good. It's amazing. I'm very sad that it's come to an end. But yeah, it's great. Duncan J. It says, with the new AJ Styles documentary coming to the network, I was curious. Do you think AJ has done his best work in WWE, TNA, or New Japan?
I would definitely say TNA, 100%. That's where he really grew to become like a great worker. And like some of my favorite matches that like he had that I really, really love were with Jerry Lynn. Like those were some of my favorite matches. But like he did so much stuff with like Loki, Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle. I mean, the list really goes on and on. The type of opponents that he was having, I'm sorry, the type of opponents he had and the type of matches that they were having were at another level.
Yeah, I'd say TNA for me as well. Like that's where I first discovered AJ Styles and like just instantly fell in love with him. Like it was, you know, the Ultimate X matches. I could watch him wrestle Christopher Daniels all day long. Like it's sublime stuff. So yeah, I'm always going to pick TNA. That TNA AJ is my AJ. Like that's my favorite one.
Same.
Alex Kirkman says, first of all, massive pat on the back to you and Chopper for the AEW review of the Brody Lee episode. It was simply amazing how you got through it. I'll never know. Your review did the show justice. So thank you. Thank you very much, Alex. That was not an easy show to review. Secondly, what do you think about the small amount of criticism WWE got for not doing the 10 bell salute? I think it was massively uncalled for, and I think WWE were respectful in their own way. Brody Lee was an AEW wrestler, so I believe WWE, rightfully so, showed a huge amount of respect by not being the first company to cash in on the time-honored tradition, which could have been easily done. I think WWE have shown a great deal of respect for Brody, his family, and AEW. The criticism is unjust.
I completely agree with that. I thought that the fact that they allowed AEW to do it first was the right call. And we already knew AEW was going to do it. So you kind of don't want to take that away. And AEW went above and beyond really everything that they've done, which like they did an amazing job. But I think that WWE did a good job in their own way and how they honored him. And even just having like the wrestlers come out and pay little tributes to him in their own special way was the best way to go about it.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It would have been nice for them to do like a video package or something, but they've done the video packages. They just did them online and they've done like some social media stuff where the wrestlers have got to like tell their Brody Lee story. So I think they have done it. They've just done it in their own different way. And I think you're right. Like, I think allowing AEW to be the people to do the 10 bell salute and to do the big tribute show, I think it was the right call.
Yeah.
Kevin, do you think that NXT is still a good way to prepare talent for the main roster? When I look at the ratings and overall feedback, I feel like NXT call-ups never connect with the casual audience, especially in the COVID era. They want legends, big names, and never get invested in new talent. Of course, NXT fans will always be behind them, but I feel like we're a vocal minority. Can NXT still be a developmental territory for a brand that doesn't put up the same product? Should it be the so-called third brand that does something different like WWE CW, but better? I think that's what NXT is at this point. Like NXT isn't it's not developmental anymore. It is just, it's what ECW was in 2010. It is just that this is the training grounds, like where we're going to like try out new characters and then move them up to Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, because it's funny because, you know, NXT, like you said, doesn't really feel like a developmental place anymore, but it doesn't also feel like Raw or SmackDown either, you know, and as much as other people would like to say that it is, it really isn't. Like, yeah, the match quality is like way better on NXT than what you're getting on Raw and SmackDown, but when it comes to like the sheer like, you know, star power of the show and the shows, it doesn't compare to Raw and SmackDown. So it's kind of like in a spot, like they were trying to have it be equal to Raw and SmackDown, but I don't think that they necessarily pulled it off. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Now I kind of feel like they're stuck in a place where they're not development, but they're not also Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah. I think the NXT sort of like, they sort of present themselves as the alternative to Raw and SmackDown. Like, if you're not enjoying Raw, you're not enjoying SmackDown, you've always got NXT. And I think that's probably a good way for them to be. Like, I don't know if we are still doing like the calling up to the main roster. I know we are still, but it doesn't really feel like that anymore. It always feels like a lateral move for a lot of people. And it's just a shame that a lot of the NXT call-ups that go there, they called up without any reason. And that's where the mistake lies. It's not that Vince doesn't get them. It's like Vince called them up in the first place. If you don't have like a 6-month plan for someone, then don't bother calling them up, because otherwise they just get lost in the shuffle.
Exactly. Like, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't care who was called up as long as they were actually being utilized properly. Mm-hmm.
Trevor from Ohio, as a huge pro wrestling fan and Friends fan, I always enjoy hearing you go off on your tangents about the show on this wrestling podcast. I agree with Luke. Ross is the worst friend. He is the worst friend.
He's the best. I love Ross.
This leads to my question. If you could replace the 6 friends from the show with professional wrestlers, who are you casting? Thanks for everything. Like always, hope you have a great 2021.
That's such a hard question.
Mm-hmm. I would say like, old Alexa Bliss. Like, Alexa Bliss as a person, I feel like, is in the sort of Rachel mold.
You think she's a Rachel?
I think so, because she, like, I think Rachel is a good person. I think Alexa Bliss, like, as a human being, is a good person. But I don't know, she's,
but I think they're basing it off like their on-screen characters. Yeah,
they're based off their on-screen characters. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Okay. So you, oh, I got one for Monica. Becky Lynch. I don't know why. Because Monica's very like, this is the plan, this is what we're doing. And I feel like Becky Lynch is the kind of person who would take charge like that. They can both take charge. That's what I think they have in common.
Yeah, okay. I suppose we've got to go with R-Truth for Joey, because they're both the sort of like silly comedy characters. So I think that works.
Who's Ross?
I was going to say, who is Ross? The other thing I was thinking of, like, is I'd cast Daniel Bryan.
Zayn!
Yes.
I just thought about it. I was like, Sami Zayn! He's got to be Ross. I feel like he'd be the Ross type.
Yeah, Sami Zayn is Ross.
Matt Riddle? No?
No, because Matt Riddle, no, because like, he's too much of a stone. Like, he's Michelangelo.
He'd be more of a Joey.
Yeah, exactly. He's more of a Joey type character. Like, what you want from like Chandler is someone who's very sarcastic, who is and is always making jokes.
I don't think we have someone like that, do we? Do we have someone like that?
No, because like you want to say, like, I mean, like Breeze Anger are always making jokes, but they're not like sarcastic jokes. They're not sarcastic about the jokes that they're making. The only person I was thinking of, like, for Phoebe, and is a bit of a gender swapping role, is to cast Daniel Bryan, because they're both hippies.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. That's a good one. Yeah, I like that. We can't cast Chandler, though. Who would he
Chandler's a hard one. I can't think of who I'm casting for Rachel either. Like, that's a really, I think those are two really hard characters to cast.
Alexa Bliss would probably be the closest, though. Who's like a sweetheart that like everybody loves? Like a female sweetheart that everybody's like, oh, she's so sweet, we love her. I can't think of anybody.
I can't think of like who is a sweetheart. Like, I'm thinking like, I mean, everyone loves Sasha Banks. And Sasha Banks is like, I mean, Rachel doesn't feel like the boss though. Like,
no, not, she's not the boss type.
That doesn't work, no.
I love how much thought we're, this is a fun question. I'm really like thinking about it. Like, my brain is really like working here.
Yeah, that is a great question.
Maybe we could let the viewers decide on Chandler and Rachel.
That's what I want to see. Comments down below. Who do you think should be cast as Rachel? Oh, you know, recast the ones that we've suggested as well. On the subject of Friends, Marcus Sol Campbell, who's your favorite and least favorite Friends guest star? I've got my favorites already locked and loaded.
You go first, because I don't have an answer.
It's Brad Pitt. Is my favorite. Yeah. The episode when he comes back is so, so funny. I really, really like that episode.
I think he's probably Rachel one of my least favorites.
No way, but it was so good because they were dating at the time.
I've never really been a Brad Pitt fan, so I'm going to have to rank him as one of my least favorite guests. I think my favorite ones were Reese Witherspoon and Christina Applegate. They were so funny. They would be my favorites.
That's what I was going to say. Brad Pitt. As Rachel's sisters, yeah, those were really good. Mm-hmm. I wish we could have got an episode with all three of them. I think that would have been really great. I just finished watching.
Did they?
Yeah, I just finished watching The Morning Show last week.
How'd you like it?
Dude, it's so good, man. Like, it's great.
I love that show. Like, I actually think that Reese Witherspoon, like, she blew Jennifer Aniston out of the water in that show. Like, she is so freaking good.
Yeah, it's absolutely great. If you've got, like, an Apple TV account, check out The Morning Show. It's really, really good. Cannot wait to see, like, another season of that show. Like,
my wife and I were like, soon. They're already working. She's working on it. Reese posted up that she's working on it.
Oh, man. Cannot wait.
Much money, too, off of that show.
Dude, like, they get paid like $2 million per episode.
Yes, because they're also executive producers, I think, or something like that. Say,
and then they've got their executive producer fees, which means they'll have like all of the benefits from that. They're making bank on that show. Like, it is ludicrous how much money they are making. Reese Witherspoon, like, since launching, like, Hello Sunshine, is just like taking over. Like, she is taking over Hollywood TV. She is just killing it at the moment.
She also has Big Little Lies. And she also did Little Fires Everywhere. I watched those shows. You didn't like Little Fires Everywhere?
No, I didn't like Little Fires Everywhere as much. I just felt like I was siding with the wrong people, I think. Like, I felt bad for the couple.
Were you siding with Reese Witherspoon?
No, kind of in a way I was.
I was too. I found myself like feeling like I was on the wrong side of things, but I also felt bad for the adoption couple. But I think that's what the show wanted it to be. It didn't want things to be, you know, it didn't want it to be like a right, wrong, hot versus cold thing. I think they were trying to show like the middle of, like, you know, these types of arguments, how there isn't always like a wrong or right. Like, it really, it's a case by case situation.
Which is interesting because, like, when it finished, my wife and I, like, we said to each other, like, I really feel like that show was telling me that I was supposed to side with the other character. And I really didn't. I thought that she was very much in the wrong.
Yeah. Kerry Washington. Yeah. I think so too. Like, I forgot her name in the show, but I think so too. I was feeling bad for the adoption couple.
Yeah, totally. But Big Little Lies, I thought was pretty good as well. Reese Witherspoon's amazing. That question ended up just becoming us talking about how great Reese Witherspoon is. Early Reese, because I'm trying to get my wife to watch it. Have you ever seen Election?
Oh, with Matthew Brody?
With Matthew Broderick, yeah.
Broderick, thank you. I saw that like a long time ago. I don't really remember it that much.
Dude, it's so, like, Reese Witherspoon's so good in that film.
Just Like Heaven. One more. Just Like Heaven with Mark Ruffalo. You gotta watch it. Have you seen it? If you haven't seen it, you gotta watch it.
I'll add it to the watch list.
Watch it. You'll love it.
That guy who wants to support, since the Royal Rumble is coming soon, there's one question on everyone's mind, an aging question that everyone who likes wrestling asks themselves and has yet to find an answer. Luke Denise, how can anyone eliminate the Big Show? He's so big. And in case the same question for Braun Strowman. That's it. Have a great weekend. Yeah, like, I think Sean said that on your Raw review that Big Show's the only guy not to have the multi-person spot eliminating him, which I was really surprised by.
Me too, because I, like, my memory of it is like all the guys always like trying to lift his giant legs over. So I think in my mind, the goal was accomplished.
Yeah.
But I guess I can't remember like all his eliminations, you know?
Yeah, like the one I can always think of is just, it's The Rock. It's the, you know, from the 2000 Rumble. With the Big Show, I think we might actually get a Braun return at the Royal Rumble. I can certainly see him coming back for the Rumble as like one of the surprise appearances.
Show?
Braun.
Braun. Okay. Yeah, probably. I mean, Show too, actually. Why not?
Could be. I mean, he main evented WrestleMania last year, so he may as well come back for the Rumble.
Yeah, seriously. And he's been doing appearances, so he might as well.
LJ Mickey, what is the first feud storyline in wrestling that you remember you got really excited about? For me, it was Rey Mysterio winning the World Heavyweight Championship at Mania 22. For me, it's Triple H Cactus Jack. The 2000 Rumble. Absolutely. Like that, I was enraptured in that storyline.
Oh, that's a hard question. I remember being really invested in the whole, there were so many, but I think for me, I was really invested in who was going to become Undisputed Champion. I remember everybody was like cutting these promos like, oh, I'm going to win, whatever, right? And like, I just really didn't know who was going to win. Like for me, it was like one of those things that I ended up remembering like being really invested in like what was going to happen.
Yeah. I loved all of it. That 2 year period, Absolutely loved it. Christian Baltimore. Hey, Luke and Denise. Quick question. It's not wrestling related. Just wanted to give Luke to give a quick review of Ready Player 2. Finished it a few days ago. Thought it wasn't bad. I am an unashamed Ready Player 1 fan. I know it's not a cool thing to be a fan of anymore because everyone has pointed out it's not a good book. And that's absolutely fine. It isn't particularly well written. I think the character is horrendous. But I kind of get a bit of a kick out of it. I've read it a couple of times. I find the adventure that he goes on quite fun. Do you know Ready Player One?
I thought you guys were talking about a video game. I didn't know this was a book. I was like, it's a book? All right, cool. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm out on this one.
Well, it is video game related. It's basically about like in the sort of future world, everyone is just locked into this virtual reality space and like the real world is sort of like dying around them. And then the creator of this virtual reality space dies and he leaves like his estate to someone who can find his Easter egg. And this Easter egg is split within this like virtual reality universe that's like all based on 80s pop culture and things like that and like old like home computers and all this sort of stuff. It's a fun adventure. If you like D&D and you like video games and you like sort of like the home computer era of the 80s or movies from the 80s, you'll probably like it, but it's not a particularly well-written book. And Ready Player 2 was the sequel that came out last year. It was like it came out in November, and I had it pre-ordered because I really wanted to read it and find out what like the next thing was. I didn't like it much, though. Unfortunately, I didn't like the second book much because it felt like any client had to double down on the things that people didn't like about the first book, and was just like, "Well, you don't like those? Well, here they are tenfold." and it almost be
explaining about the things that people didn't like from the first book.
I mean, there's like a whole section of it. They go to this prince planet and it is basically just like, it is just a whole chapter of just like, here are facts I know about Prince. And it's just like, just here's some stuff about Prince. Here's some more stuff about Prince. And then they go to this place, which is also about Prince. And it's like, cool, I get it. But it all, like, I don't feel like I'm enjoying this adventure. And I love Prince. Like, I love the purple one, but yeah, I'm not enjoying this adventure as much.
If you didn't enjoy it, I probably wouldn't enjoy it. I'm not really into like this like adventure type of like, I don't know, whatever you're talking about, I'm not really into it. I don't really know about that kind of stuff. Like, I'm out on this. Like, virtual reality type of stuff gives me a headache. Like, I'm just, the only thing I could, did you watch Upload on Amazon?
I did watch Upload on Amazon, yeah.
I love that, but I hated it because I didn't like the idea of it. I mean, the story was phenomenal, but I didn't like it. I didn't like it, but I loved it. You get what I'm trying to say here? Like, I just hate thinking about living a virtual reality type of life. I'm not into that.
That's kind of how I felt about Ready Player One. Like, I didn't like it, but I loved it. Like, it was, as I, and the same with Ready Player Two. It is just, it's more of the same, but not as good. And it makes the characters worse. Craig, what was that noise?
That was me. I was hoping no one noticed. I was playing with my ring and I dropped it.
So still.
I was like.
Can I imagine it?
No, I dropped it and I immediately went like, I just like posed my body up. Like, you know, like when you get caught doing something in school and you're like, oh man, I got caught. That's the second thing I've dropped on this podcast. Earlier, I was playing with something else and I was playing with the hand sanitizer bottle and I dropped it and you didn't notice. And then I dropped the ring and you did notice.
Okay. So that's my short review of Ready Player 2. The American Dadass, Jesse Long. While I can't say The Fiend Orton in any way moves the needle for me in terms of general enjoyment towards WWE as a whole, Luke and Ollie's assessment of the feud is being booked in reverse got me thinking. Do you think that the feud is being built towards another Firefly Funhouse match, this time focusing on Randy's career transgressions? It could address how he's got his contract based on his lineage, feature a return of RNN, somehow address pooping in a diva's duffel bag, then maybe ultimately feature a nice tribute to Luke Harper as a way to, as he was arguably the real star in the Viper in the Family storyline. Maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe we'll just get a blindfold match at Fastlane. Yeah, I mean, I think we're definitely getting probably the Firefly Funhouse match for WrestleMania this year will be Randy Orton.
I just don't care for Randy Orton, The Fiend. They don't bring out anything good in each other. I'm out on this one. I don't even care what they do. I'm not interested.
Yeah. Although I'm quite interested to see Randy Orton like being very self-aware and kind of like dissecting his career. I think that could be a lot of fun. And I think it will blow people's minds as well. I think people will go absolutely nuts if they do like a John Cena style Firefly Funhouse where it is just like, this is a real dissection of the character. I think people will go nuts for it, even though I find Randy Orton to be quite boring.
See, like, for me, it just depends on who he's working with.
Mm-hmm. Jack Strang, thank you for your very kind words. It's nice to see you getting involved in the community. Thanks for that. If you could both choose two wrestlers each, one male, one female, and book them to win this year's Money in the Bank and receive mega pushes, who would it be and why? For me, I'm going to go with Jey Uso winning the men's to further his storyline with Roman.
Jey Uso would be good. Do you have any ideas?
I mean, the other one that he suggested here is Io Shirai. Like, it's like bringing someone up from NXT, giving them the Money in the Bank contract, and giving them like a to try and like make a star. Because that's what the Money in the Bank's missed, I think, for like the last few years. It's not making stars. They're just sort of just giving it to people. And I want to see it like given to someone who has not previously held a title, not previously held Money in the Bank, and it's using that to catapult them into the main events.
Peyton Royce.
Oh, that is such a great shout.
For the women, I think she would need it. She needs something to like make her stand out. It's just something.
Yeah, that's so, so good. I really, really like that. And I think for like the men's, I think like Aleister Black winning it. Apparently Aleister Black's coming back soon. That was according to PW Insider reported that he is coming back soon, but they want to sort of like, they don't really know what to do yet. So they just sort
there
of
there you
like
go. You just gave them an idea. Roll with it.
Roll with it. Win Money in the Bank. Daniel says, hello, Denise and Luke. Greetings from Baltimore. Hope both is well with you. I'm writing to talk about Kenny and his All the Belt storyline, specifically with Impact. I want to say this isn't a diss or bashing Kenny. Personally, I'm not the biggest Omega fan, but I recognize that he is a draw and would bring attention to any promotion he's a part of. I find the storyline to be a bit disrespectful to Rich Swann and Impact, who have been working their butts off to elevate the promotion and make it a real player in the industry. I feel like all the hard work would be a footnote in the end because most wrestling fans will only acknowledge Impact and their title as just one of the belts that Kenny held. Sorry for the long rant. Hope you two have a great day. Thank you for the consistency.
That's the thing about this AEW Impact thing is that what they do, like whatever storyline they do, like the invasion thing, it's going to be a short-term thing. I can't see them playing this out for a very long time. I don't know if it would, I think depending on how it's done, how it's executed, I wouldn't necessarily say it's completely disrespectful, but I could see how it is disrespectful at the same time. I don't know. Yeah. I think I have to see it play out before I can give like a full, my full thoughts on that. I would have to see it happen first.
And I think it's always about the end game as well. Like, yeah, Rich Swann may lose the title and it will just be one of the belts that Kenny holds, but that moment that Rich wins it back, like that's a pretty big deal. Like whoever wins the Impact title back off of Kenny Omega gets so much more off the back of it. And that helps Impact and that helps. So like there is a good end goal in this, I feel. But yeah, like you, I really want to see this to play out first. But I think we're quite clearly heading towards like AEW trademarked Battle for the Belts. So clearly they are going to be doing a Rich Swann Kenny Omega match very, very soon, I would have thought.
Oof, I want to see it. I want to see it. Give it to me.
Rini says, hi, Luke and Denise. I hope your new year is treating you well so far. My question is, what theme song do you think is underrated or a theme song that people don't talk about enough? For me, I love Undertaker's Ministry theme song. I absolutely loved it. It's super good. No one talks about it because his theme song, because of the American Badass theme songs overshadow it. That's just my take. I hope you guys have a great day. Ministry Taker, like I've said this on multiple podcasts, that's my favorite Taker entrance music. The metal Undertaker music, oh, it's so good.
I like it because it's spooky. Like you legit get scared. Like if you took me to a cemetery and then played that song and left me alone, I would cry like a baby. I would cry. You know, like think about that. Oh, I'm trying to think of a song that I would like that's underrated. I feel like all the songs I like are getting the proper attention that they deserve.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned AJ's earlier, but I think I wouldn't say that's an underrated.
No, like AJ, I love that song.
Everyone loves that AJ song.
I got it. Don't laugh at my answer, though. Do not laugh at my answer.
Okay.
It's the Great Khali song. I freaking love that song. I just love the Great Khali's theme song. Don't ask me why. I have it downloaded on my phone. I will listen to it like that. I love that song.
Wow. Yeah, that is something I was not expecting.
That's an underrated song. That's a good song right there.
If we'd have been playing That's My Line and you'd have given me like 20 questions, I never would have got to the Great Khali.
I know. It's so weird. I always play that song on road trips too. Like whenever I'm in a good like, funky mood, like that's the song that I'll play.
Wow.
I also really like Daivari's song. I love that type of like that type of music. So like I like those types of sounds. Those could be my picks.
I think there's some in AEW that I would probably pick. And the reason why I'm picking them like an AEW one is because I don't think people tend to talk about the theme music from AEW. But like, I think Kenny's Battle Cry song is really, really great. I think Moxley's music is awesome. I really love Moxley's music.
I really like Hangman Page's music, Darby's, and Cody's.
Darby's song I do actually, that's on a Spotify playlist. I really, really like that song.
Yeah, that I'm not the good. Biggest.
I'm not a big fan of Cody's song. I think I like it even less now with the Snoop Dogg edition. Mm. But yeah, I think like Sting's entrance music is badass as well. Like that song is really, really cool. So yeah, so I think like AEW's got quite a few because they're still a new, fresh company. People don't tend to talk about that in entrance music. And because WWE really have got like the foothold of this is the best entrance music for wrestlers.
Yeah, I think
they really have.
I'm telling you, whenever you have time, just play the Great Khali's theme song and Daivari's and you'll be like, oh man, she's got a point here.
And our last question comes in from Peter Mullins. Something struck me the other day while watching AEW and the team of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy. WWE used to come up with great tag team names for random singles guys teaming up together, and I've genuinely missed that. They seem to be bringing it back in the last few months. My question is, can you think of a great tag team of two wrestlers? By way of an assist, here are some actual tag teams that won the WWE tag titles back in the day. So this is kind of like...
I did this one.
Oh, did you do this one? Oh, right. I thought I'd seen this question before.
Yeah, where you have to come up with the names for the tag teams.
Right. Okay. Yeah, Peter's left it again. So I thought I could have, because I listened to you guys do the podcast and I was like, and I went back in my notes. So I was like, I've not asked this question. So yeah, now that I read that, it was on the Adam show that you did, of course. Right. Well, Peter Munns, you've got your answer. But anyway. That is all we've got time for on this edition of the WrestleTalk podcast. Please do head on over to beer52.com/WrestleTalk. Get your free case of delicious, delicious craft beer on us. Beer52.com. The snack this month, by the way, are these salted pretzels, which look pretzel thins, which look absolutely delicious.
Oh,
drop the ring again.
No, you didn't hear nothing. You didn't hear nothing. That was me. That was my stomach rumbling. I was like, good. No one heard nothing.
I didn't hear a thing. Beer52.com/WrestleTalk. Go and get yourself a free case of craft beer. Enjoy the rumble. It is for UK viewers only, I am afraid. We were just talking then about like how we both sort of like, I know you're like, we're a bit of fiddlers, I think. Like you were talking about how like you were fiddling with your ring and you dropped it and you made a big clattering sound. I do it all the time as well. But what I will say for you is you hide it so much better. Like, because I
think- Not on this podcast.
I'm talking about like your facial reaction. Like you didn't move at all. Like you did not move a muscle. Like I can't hide it. Like if I'm playing with my wedding ring and I sometimes just like, you know, pull it up onto my finger or whatever, and it drops like that, I will go like, and I will pull a face to be like, oh my God, I dropped my wedding ring.
No, I think I'm pretty good at like whenever I'm doing a podcast, like I'm really good at whatever I'm doing, like with my hands, I'll try not to like make any sort of reaction to it. I try to train myself, you know, like, don't let anybody know. You could be freaking out inside your head. It's fine. But as long as you're not showing it on the air, you're okay.
Now that I've got you back on the show again, and this is actually the first show that we've done since the launch of Denise Snell Snack Doze.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on my reviews I've had so far?
My thoughts are that I'm very upset with your ratings. I feel some of them have not been very fair. I think you deduct points for any little thing. What? Like you deducted points on that one thing that I gave you because you couldn't find the spoon. Like how is that the candy's fault?
No, I gave it points because I found the spoon. I gave it points because I was going to, like, I didn't realize that I had a spoon with it. And I was like, this is a pain in the ass to eat. Like, this is really difficult. But then when I found the spoon, I was like, oh, this is actually very easy to eat. That's on me. I made the mistake. So I added points onto the score.
Okay. Well, either way, I feel like you haven't given anything a 10 out of 10 yet. And I think
I have.
What did you give the 10 out of 10? No, you did not. You've done like 8 out of 10.
No, dude, I did, because Jack the Jobber sent me a message being like, that's a bit soon to be busting out a 10. I'm going to find
out. I have not seen the 10.
10 out of 10. Fritos, the chili cheese flavored corn chips. I wrote, tastes like Doritos, subtle cheese flavor, effing delightful, 10 out of 10, heart and eyes emoji.
I take my words back. I take them back. You know, those chili cheese Fritos, they deserve a 10, though. They are an underrated chip. They're not very popular, but once you discover them, they are bomb.
Dude, they're so good. And I have been saving. Like, I haven't done a review for them yet, but oh no, I did the sour ones, didn't I? The sour straw things.
You did the sour punch ones. You said they weren't sour enough.
They were not sour enough. My wife thought they were like really sour at the start, but it didn't last. But we've been saving the sour gum worms because
the trolleys,
because my wife had those when she was in America, and she said they're absolutely amazing. So we've been saving those, and I've been saving that big bag of chips that you gave me, which is, like you said, don't have too many of them because it gives you an upset stomach.
Oh, the Takis? Yes. I can't wait for you to have the Masafanes. That's the circle ones with the little rose in the front. The ones I told you to be careful when you open them. I've been waiting for your review on those ones, because if they do not get a 10, I can't promise you that I will be on this podcast after that. I will leave. I'm going to send in my resignation and be like, nope, because Luke did not give those Masafanes a 10 out of 10. They, you know what? They even deserve more than that.
Well, I mean, I will do those ones today then. I was actually looking at which one I was going to do today. I had to take a bit of time off from doing it because I had such a bad toothache.
You said you had two stuff done.
Yeah, in just after Christmas, like into the new year, I had a really bad toothache. I've had a tooth taken out. Yeah, that was my New Year's gift to myself, was I had to go get a tooth taken out. So I've had to like really hold off on doing like eating lots of sweet stuff because I don't want to aggravate it, right?
Yeah.
But now it's fine. Now it's okay. The tooth is gone. The pain is gone.
Now so, you can continue messing up your dental work and just eat more candy.
Yeah. And me and my wife, we went shopping the other week. Well, I went shopping and I have got all of like the stuff to send across to you. I'm taking it to the post office tomorrow morning. I'm so, so excited. It is a full ass box. Like, it is a big box. I've spent a good amount of money on it, but I think it's gonna cost me an absolute fortune to send it across.
I feel so bad you didn't have to. Oh my god.
No, I did. We've been talking about
this. Can you add it to like your reimbursements and get like WrestleTalk to reimburse you?
It's a business expense. Like, we've been talking about this since we've been talking about this since you were first on the show, that I was gonna send you across some like British snacks. So now is the time, and I've gone all out, man. I hope you like your snacks, because there are a buttload of snacks coming your way.
What should I call it? Luke snack snowins snackowins snook.
I mean, You've got some time. It's going to be a little while before it gets to you. So you've got some time to workshop that. Someone sent me in a hyper chat yesterday on the AEW stream about the t-shirt that you got on the Raw podcast you did with Sean this week. But it wasn't a t-shirt that you got. It was a t-shirt that Sean got.
Yes, there is a t-shirt now. Well, Sean was gifted a t-shirt from a fan that basically said that I'm like the biggest Kanye West fan or something like that. And I did not see it coming. No, I was not a fan. And I am not a fan of Kanye West. That is fake news.
I got schooled on last week's Raw show that me and Ollie did. I did not know that. Well, I mean, I don't think I really knew that he was married to Kim Kardashian or that they had split up. I thought they might.
You didn't know that Kanye was married to Kim Kardashian?
I don't think I did.
Neither did Ollie?
No, Ollie did. Ollie had to tell me.
How did you not know this?
I don't know. Like, do they have a TV show? Do
no,
they
do but it's things? Like common. Like, just even if you don't want to know about it, everybody knows about it.
I don't know, man. It's like if I see the Kardashian name pop up on Twitter feed or someone retweets it, I'm generally just scrolling past. Like,
I know, but same for me. I can't stand Kim Kardashian, and even I knew she's married to Kanye West. Like, everybody knows.
I'm not sure if I did. I must have done, but like, it just did not.
Does your wife know? Have you asked her this?
Oh yeah, she knows. Like, yeah, she knows this.
See, how do you not know?
Because we don't talk about it. It's not like she's like, can you believe what Kim Kardashian and but
it's like basic common knowledge, like basic common celebrity knowledge. Like, you don't have to know anything else, but everybody knows that.
Okay. Well, I'll try and be better. Maybe that's one of my resolutions for 2021, is to be a bit more across that sort of thing.
You don't even have to try. It's just something that everybody knows.
Right, very lastly, before we get out of here, you've got a weekend off. What have you got planned?
I'm taking a staycation for a day.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to, I got an Airbnb rental. Yeah, I'm excited. Nice, like, private suite. Just my fiance and I, and we're going to Camarillo, which is only an hour and a half away from here, so not really bad. We're not planning on sightseeing or anything. It's actually going to rain this entire weekend. But we just kind of wanted to have like a weekend to ourselves, where like I'm out of the house and we're actually seeing each other. And so, yeah, I'm hoping it's a nice week. I'm like really looking forward to it.
Oh, that sounds so awesome. That sounds lush.
I know, I haven't gone anywhere or seen anything, so I'm like, well, we can just stay in another room.
Yeah, we've been looking for that sort of thing as well, like just going to Cornwall. I mean, we can't at the moment because like the restrictions we've got here is that we're not allowed to leave the areas that we're currently in. So like if you're in tier four, you've got to stay within tier four. So we can't really travel outside of it. So, but we are like, once that is sort of like lifted, which could be around like March, April time, now that the vaccinations are rolling out, we're like, oh, we could go to Cornwall, which is like a 5-hour drive down to like the southwest coast. But yeah, we've been looking at like renting out places, the little cottages that are close to pubs and close to the beach. We're really quite excited about it.
Yes, it's not that bad. I mean, like, you can do it safely. You just gotta, you know, follow, you wear your mask and, you know, sanitize and make sure everything's clean and not go near people. That's like my plan. I'm like, we're not planning on like going out and sightseeing. Like, we're just gonna chill. So like, yeah, that's like, you can definitely do something like that and, you know, like be okay. But like, for you guys though, have they who's allowed to get the vaccine right now over there?
So it's if you are of a vulnerable disposition or if you're of a certain age, then that's the like, and they're sort of like staggering it. So like my mum's a vaccinator, so my mum got the vaccination quite early on. Yeah, I say early on. She got it like a couple of weeks ago. So now she can be like, she had to get like all of her training first on how to be a vaccinator. Like, she's been a nurse for like her entire life. And then she was in like, she was a director of nursing. And now she's going back to being a nurse since the pandemic started. She, like, she put back on her nurse uniform to go and be a nurse again.
That's amazing.
So, I mean, like, she's been really enjoying it. She's always loved it. So like, this has been something she's really enjoyed being a part of in a way. But yeah, so she's now, so she's got her vaccination done, which means my dad got it done. My father-in-law is getting his done this week because he's in the vulnerable category because he's got a heart condition. So it is rolling out. I don't think we're going to get it like our age bracket. Like, I don't think we're going to get it until like towards the end of the year, I would have thought. Maybe even
I heard that here they're probably gonna I don't know if this is right, but I think they were saying like March for like people 16 and older, and I was like, a lot sooner than I expected. I don't know, this was told to me from like my grandma's friend told my grandma told me, like, I haven't like actually read it anywhere, so don't take my word for it, but my grandparents are getting their vaccinations next week, which I'm excited about. So
that's so cool. Yeah, that's really good. The end is in sight.
Hopefully,
yeah. It'd be nice to be back in the office again. But that's all we've got time for on this edition of the podcast. The reason why I was going to be excited to do that, to get back in the office, is we launched a board game channel, which is the most sociable thing to do in the world. And we can't socialize with each other. And it'd be really nice to be able to socialize with people again and play board games.
Yes.
Anyway, that's all we've got time for this edition of the Russell Talk podcast. Thank you all so much for listening and downloading this. Pete and Andy will be back tomorrow. Oh, that's the other thing I was going to say. We are the most consistent show on the podcast feed that we've got. I look at the monthly stats and, like, you know, how they get, like, average per month. We're the most consistent. Woo! Raw and AEW go up and down. SmackDown goes up and down.
We need to get to number one. Who's number one right now? We need to get to number one.
Let me check. I think we were might have been second this month.
We were second place.
I think we were second place. I think we were second behind AEW for December.
That's not bad, because I would expect AEW like reviews to be higher than our show, because you know it's like new stuff. But I get so many letters from people that love this show. Like not like letters, but like DMs and you know emails and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
Nope, I was wrong. We were the number one show for the podcast last month. We beat the AEW review by 5 players.
Wait, is this on the Patreon or is this on the YouTube channel?
No, this is the podcast version. So like the audio version of it. So like this bit here only.
Ooh,
yeah,
how exciting! We beat
it by 5 plays, we beat the AEW review. So we're number 5 one.
5 people. Yes, we need to get more people. We need to tweet that out. Let people know that we're number one.
We are number one. We finally beat SmackDown. So anyway, that's all we've got time for this edition of the WrestleTalk podcast. Thank you all so much for listening and downloading. We will see you next week. Take care, everyone. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.